Well, it's wonderful to be here to share with you part two of the series we're doing. So would you do something to indicate that you're ready to hear and ready to receive? Maybe put your hand on your heart. Yeah. So, Father God, this morning, I just thank you for what you have in mind for your children. Father God, I just pray that every son, every daughter this morning would just know that you are for them, that you cover them, that, Lord, that you are just order their steps. And Father, I just pray that every heart would feel so encouraged this morning, so close to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, for those of you who are joining me for the first time today, we were doing a two-part series on the orphan spirit. So let me elaborate on the meaning of this term a little bit more in depth. So another way of describing this orphan spirit is it's actually a mindset in the way that we see ourselves on the inside. So these attitudes that can occur and build up when we live out our faith journey, when we don't really know or believe that we have actually been adopted into God's family, that we are sons and daughters. And we can still live as though we are rejected and abandoned, and that we really aren't ever going to be good enough to attain God's full love and acceptance. And this unhealthy mindset or belief system originated from Satan when he chose to live outside of God's realm. And he had this independence where he thought that he could just, I can do this. I don't need God. And as soon as he did, he became an orphan. He became fatherless. And this caused him to have a sense of being lost and disinherited. And this same orphan mentality, this orphan spirit, was released into our world. And people still struggle with that sense of not belonging today. And we see it manifest in all sorts of different ways. And the orphan mindset strives to be accepted, never feeling good enough, struggling with low self-esteem, and often a sense of, I'm in a room full of people, but I have this overwhelming sense of loneliness. Lacking that sense of belonging and being nurtured by our Heavenly Father, and always feeling like you're never recognized, you're invisible, you're not seen, you're not valued. Now, this whole mindset that I've been talking about and sharing with you is completely opposite to everything that Jesus is, that the Father is. And in John 14, verse 18, his response to us is this. He says, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." And one of the examples that I used last week was from the story of the prodigal son. Pastor David mentioned it during communion this morning. And if you joined us for the first time, this is a biblical story found in Luke chapter 15. And it focuses on two sons and how their lives were very different, but both of them operated under that same mindset that we've been talking about. And the reason that they both had the same mindset was because inside of them, they didn't believe that their dad loved them unconditionally. They felt like they had to strive and attain to receive to be worthy of his love, to receive his love. Now, the outworking of this was in two different ways. So one chose to leave and rebel against his dad, but the other stayed and worked hard on his father's property. But he also felt like, I'm invisible to my dad. I'm not valued as a loyal son. So even though their lives played out very, very differently, they both operated with the same orphan mindset. So let's have a look at this story in a bit more depth. So in Luke 15, the father reacts to both of his sons. And the rebellious son comes to his senses and he decides he's going to come back home to his father. And he's so full of shame that he's just already decided in his heart, I am going to approach the father and ask, I don't need anything much, I just will be a hired helper. Almost like a slave mentality. But his father did not even allow him to make that request. But here's what the father said. I love this. Turning to his servants, the father said, "Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring me the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. And bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. But here's the thing. See if you can grab hold of the magnitude of what he did. Because what the father did was he didn't go and grab his son's ordinary clothes that would have been in storage, would have been in his own, you know, the son's room. But the father ordained his son with the best robe, with the ring and the shoes. The father clothed his son in his glory." Amen. Amen? Can you get that? Can you understand what that means? And on the other side, the prodigal son's brother is there looking on. What the heck is going on here? So this brother is ticked, he's miffed, and this is what he says. "My brother does all the wrong things, I do all the right things, working like a slave day in and day out, and yet you throw your love, acceptance and wealth all over him and never recognize my hard work and loyalty. I'm invisible to you, Dad. You don't think about me." He also had that slave mentality because he was a slave to his father's approval. He never understood that he didn't have to work for his father's love. He felt that he had to strive to be accepted. And this is how his father responds to this son. He says, "My son, you are always with me by my side. Everything I have is yours." He already had everything, but he still strived to earn it. He didn't understand that he was a son. He didn't live like a son inside of his head. Yeah? And as long as this elder brother continues to believe he can work his way into the heart of his father, he will never experience that peace that comes with true sonship. He would never receive what his brother, who went and took off and did all the wrong things, had graciously received from his dad. And Real Life Church, can you see that this is our story too? That we can have this orphan mindset working in us where we live our lives away from God's guidance, and whether we've done all the right things we need to do to live as a good Christian, it's not about what we do. It's about what is in our hearts. And what is in our hearts affects our minds, our thinking, our belief system. Yeah? The wrong thinking can affect you and I in completely different ways. But ultimately, it's a robbing, it's a stealing for all of us from the unconditional, attentive love and devotion of our Heavenly Father. But there's good news today. Amen? We don't have to stay like this. This series may have brought some things to light for those of you whose thinking has been that of an orphan and not a son and daughter. There's a book called by Leif Hetland called The Orphan Spirit, and it says, "Jesus' actions spoke louder than words. He demonstrated what the Father thinks of us. We know the Lord is willing to go to the lowest point of our being, the dirtiest and the smelliest, and heal our festering wounds so that we can stand upright as a true son and daughter able to walk in his ways." Here it is: a kiss to the face, the best robe, and the sandals on the feet ministered to the mind, body, soul, and spirit of the prodigal son. The restoration process had to be holistic. It had to cover everything. And by doing so, the prodigal son the prodigal son receives complete healing of his mind and emotions. But here's the cool part. The orphan spirit was pulled out from the roots, never to grow again. Amen? Amen. I want to encourage you from the scripture in Psalm 34. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we need to know, just not on a Sunday when we've got our Sunday clothes on and it's all looking like everything's rosy in our house. We need to know that not just on a Sunday, not just in church, but every single day, every part of our life is connected to a perfect heavenly Father. He is invested in the detail of your life. Yeah? He is ever present. And Jesus carried the Father's glory, which was absolute acceptance. And the Word of God says that you are accepted in the Beloved. But we need to change the way we think. If we want to live in the truth, that we have absolute acceptance by Father God, even on a bad day, even when we completely stuff up, we are still completely and totally accepted by Father God. You know, I have had, I've been doing pastoral care in Canning Vale at Life City Church for many years. I've come here and I've talked to probably thousands of people now, and they've come into my office and you can kind of see there's this hesitancy about disclosing their information. And I always say to them, you know, when you leave here, no matter what you've told me, number one, it's confidential. But number two, I've got my own black stuff that I'm working through. I'm not going to be thinking about your black stuff because I've got a load of my own. Yeah? And so people have come into my office and they've been worried about things like, you know, am I good enough? Will I actually make it to heaven? Am I really saved? You know, because I don't feel it sometimes. Others are concerned that they've disqualified themselves because they've made these huge stuff-ups in their past and they feel like, how could I truly be accepted by God when he knows all the stuff I've done? People have continual doubts about their eternal destiny. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to enjoy the freedom that comes with being a son and a daughter of the Most High. Jesus knew his Father, and every time Jesus was challenged to prove his identity, who he belonged to, he would always point to the Father. And that's what we can do too. What gives us right standing? What makes us acceptable? It always points to Father God. And Jesus didn't talk about the love of God based on what he, just the scriptures alone, but from an intense personal experience. He knew his Father intimately. And you know, as we know our Father intimately, that's where our confidence grows. And it's available to every single one of us right now. We too can know him intimately. We can be accepted and know that we are his beloved. And, you know, when my brother-in-law, Tony, was given a diagnosis of motor neuron, he got a prophetic word that said that God was crazy about him, and he used to stand in front of his mirror every morning when he was believing God to live and not die. And he'd go, I know that you are crazy about me, Father God, and you have only good in mind for me. And he would stand there and he would declare it and say it out loud over his life and his circumstance. I know that you are crazy about me and that I am totally loved and accepted by you. And here we are 18 years later and he's still alive. Amen? Amen. And so I want to read to you, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Romans 8, 29 to 30. You know, this is how the Lord wants his kids to be. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be stable, walking in spiritual maturity, and he wants us to live like we know who we belong to with our heads held high, walking confidently as sons and daughters, not in our own ability and strength, but in His, which is never failing. And, you know, nobody here has had a perfect father or mother. We never got to choose which family we were born into. And there has been voids in people's lives, huge gaps. But God has always been there and has always been our Father. And this lack may have occurred with our earthly family, but God has always been our true and forever family. And He continues to be, He was, is, and always will be our home. He is home. Yeah? So please don't use your past as an excuse to disqualify yourself. Because Father God is fully trustworthy, and all of His promises to you this morning are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And He wants you and I to walk in the fullness of who we are as His kids. You know, we all have come from different sorts of homes, some from dysfunctional backgrounds with very little love, often very little support. But whatever your past, I'm going to say this again, whatever your past, it does not define your future in Christ. Amen? Yeah, that deserves an applause, I think, this morning. Whatever your past, it doesn't define your future. Amen. You and I have been brought with a great, great price through the blood and body of our Saviour Jesus, giving up His life for each person here today. And it's freely available for every person in this room. But you know, this morning, if you've recognized that you have some unhealthy ways of thinking and believing, there is a solution. And you know that I love to always get on the solution side. Because knowing something is great, but getting on the solution side is far more important. And so we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. When we come to Father's house, He will open His heart. He will open the door. He won't lecture and chastise, but He sees us. It's kind of like He's one-eyed about us. It's just like, yep, I know what they're up to, but I'm just so totally biased about them. Yeah? If we are God's children, then we are co-heirs. And if we are co-heirs, then we are part of the family of God. And we're all in this together, Real Life Church. We see in Romans 8, 14 to 17, it's all about humanity being restored back to God. That's why it talks about crying, Abba Father, which is Daddy God. It speaks of intimacy. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are sons of God. So the entire focus for you and I this morning is to know who you belong to and who you really are. The earth has been orphaned. Humanity has been orphaned. But there is this cry in the world today, a desperate cry for an identity. It can be found in Jesus. This is the cry in every human heart. There's a God gap in every human heart. And this is humanity crying for identity. Who am I going to belong to? Who am I going to identify myself with? And all of this striving and fear and anxiety disappears when you do this. You taste and see that the Lord is good. Whew. Such a relief. Safe. Safe. Home. Family. We think that when we have this orphan mindset, we have to hide our shame and guilt and earn His goodness. But the Word of God reminds us, and it says this, it is His loving kindness that leads me to repentance. One of the most effective ways that I can describe the heart of the Father is from the parable of the lost sheep. And we see the Father as the good shepherd, daily caring and protecting and watching over those in his care. We also see that though he has charge in this parable of 100 sheep, he is so attentive, he is so sharp and alert to every need of those in his care, those 100. He is so attentive that when only one of them goes astray, he pursues them without hesitation. He takes extreme lengths to find that one sheep, and when he does, he picks him up and carries him home. And you know, today there are some of you that he wants to carry. Some of you here this morning have been through tremendous heartache and trials, and he's inviting you. The invitation to you this morning is, would you let me carry you? Would you let me carry that? Yeah? Don't be independent. Don't say, no, I can do it. He's saying, would you let me carry that for you? He's like the perfect gentleman. And he comes and he says, that's too heavy for you to carry. Would you let me carry it? Yeah, that's for somebody here this morning. You see, the Father that you longed and dreamed about is indeed that same shepherd that's in your heart today, and he is yearning to know you intimately. Romans 8:38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Your adoption is complete when you rest in the complete work of the cross. There's nothing more to be done. It's all been done through Jesus dying once and for all. It's been secured by Jesus, and the scars, the eternal scars that he carries for you and for me. And he never ever gives up. He continually pursues us. No matter how many times we might go in our own direction, go off the path, he brings us back just like that shepherd. Yeah? He brings us, come on back in. Have another go, have another try. And he wipes us down and gets the dust off us and says, come on, you can do this, you're a champion. A son and a daughter are at peace with their calling, and they display the same attributes as their Father God. And this is what somebody who knows that they are a son and a daughter, that they have been adopted, is that they're able to show grace and mercy. They're a person who meditates on those things that are pure. They count their blessings. They think about things that are of a good report. They lift up those around them with words of encouragement and life. Can I implore you in the room today to abandon the things that are not working for you? Don't be hard-hearted. Don't remain in your pain. Stop striving and trying to manage your life without the help of your Heavenly Father. Let go of the hurt that's attached itself to you from your past. The words that have maybe been spoken over you that were like a sharp arrow that pierced you and hurt you. Stop relying and replaying the tape that bashes yourself up continually for hidden sins, for not being good enough, for guilt, for shame. And this is what you need to do, everybody, is yell out this four-letter word really loudly. Help! Yeah? If you are struggling, if you have sin you can't overcome, come to Christians who you can trust. Let them walk with you. Let them hold up your arms when you're feeling weak. What's the word? Help! Yeah? It's not a crime to actually ask for help. Sometimes our pride wants us to be self-sufficient. That's not the heart of the Father. Come and lay everything that you're worried about this morning down and just bring it to him. Be vulnerable, be honest, because your shepherd is pursuing you. He's searching out and he's calling your name. In a little while, I'm going to open up this space for ministry, but I always want to leave you with some keys, because for those of you who don't know, I used to be a school teacher. So I love to get really right down and practical. And we're going to have a time of ministry and healing. But what I'd love you to do, first of all, is if you're a note taker, is just to take these things down. The first is to learn to carry his presence with us and access it every day. That doesn't mean necessarily in the busyness of life. You can access God in the car. You can access him, while you're brushing your teeth. You just access his presence. He's right there, available, ready, wanting to just be close to you. Continually ask God, give me a soft heart. Don't be independent. Humble yourself before the Lord. Number two, if you're struggling with rejection, what you can do is you actually, if you're a child of God, you've been given authority. Yeah? And what you can do is when those thoughts replay in your mind, those thoughts, those situations where you are rejected, you actually have the authority to say in Jesus' name, because your adoption confirms that you belong, and you remind yourself, I belong to God. I belong to God's family. And you can you can tell those thoughts to go in the name of Jesus and with the blood of Jesus. Yeah? If you are troubled with those types of thinking, that's what you can do. That's the position that you hold as a son and daughter. Number three, renew your mind. Sabotage those orphan mindsets and replace them with the thoughts of a son and daughter. Stand in front of the mirror and say, God is absolutely crazy about me. He thinks I'm the best. It's not being cocky or big-headed. It's just reminding yourself who you belong to. Think like a child of God, not an orphan who has no home and doesn't belong. Line your thinking up by meditating on the Word of God. What does God's Word say about me? Dwell on those thoughts. Take one of those thoughts, one of those scriptures, and think about it through your day. Wow, God actually thinks that. He feels that about me. And then what I'd like you to do now is I'd like you to stand, because we're going to say a prayer together. So would you stand with me this morning? And as we say this together, there's a part in there where we actually confess and repent. And I'm going to allow a couple of minutes while you do that, maybe out loud or just in your heart. But what I'd like you to do right now, and the prayer is going to come up on the screen. And we're going to say this prayer together, and I invite you this morning to join me. And it says, okay, I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Heavenly Father, I confess and repent of the following orphan spirit attitudes and feelings. Now speak them out or say them in your mind to yourself. Help me to be real and truthful. Let's continue. Set me free from the orphan attitude and negative emotions. Father, you are my home. I am confident in who I am and whose I am. I am your son, your daughter, and I will never hesitate to come into your presence. Give me a heart after yours. Thank you so much that my identity and position are solely found in you. Your love and embrace are my source of strength and power. Holy Spirit, help me walk in an intimate love relationship with my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, to those who are watching online, it's time to say goodbye for now. Thank you for joining us this morning.